Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We have the luxury of speaking to Kaiser Kahan-Iago, who's head of communications and stakeholder relations at the Special Investigations Unit, the SUI. A very good morning. Thanks for joining us, as you always do. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm fine. And how are you? And good morning to your listeners.
I'm good. Thank you. So, first of all, what's the reaction been to the release of this report?
From our point, it is a good thing that the president finally released the report to the public, because as far as we are concerned, it also puts into context the amount of work that the SIU investigators do, and now people are able to understand the quality of people that we have at the SIU, and the professionals that do their work diligently without fear or favor.
Yeah, I think it's been a very important case from a principal's perspective in terms of the Special Investigation Unit, and I guess almost a test case that you've been allowed to do your work, carry on your investigation, and report back to the president and to the public.
No, definitely. We really appreciate the fact that we were given the space to do what we're supposed to do, and we got the support from all the people that we had to go through. Obviously, others were reluctant
to
talk to us, but that doesn't stop us from getting the evidence that we need, and we have put all of that. And like I always say, all our outcomes are evidence-based. We will not come and then talk about you when there is no evidence against
you.
And it is very clear that is why we don't investigate people. We investigate processes, and we find people in there.
How do you deal with what follows? Because in some ways, you conduct the research, you investigate, you prepare the report, and then you hand it over. You, to some extent, lose control at that point, and politics enters into it, public sentiment enters into it, all sorts of other factors that might not have played or might have played a part until now, but certainly not in public. Now it almost gathers a life of its own. What happens to Mkhize? What happens to this one or that one along the way? Is it difficult from an investigator's perspective to hand over this baby almost and now not know what's going to happen next?
No, we really are not worried about that, because we are always aware of what happens next.
Right.
Because when we make referrals, for example, we make referrals to the department to say, these are the people who were complicit in this, and this is the evidence, this is what they have done, discipline them. We don't just throw it there and leave it like that. We follow up. We want to know what they have done. And we get those reports all the time. You would have seen when we gave a report to SCOPA, we're able to say in each and every case, we have made this referral on this day, we checked, and this is how far this thing is at the moment.
Right. So in other words, you don't just hand it over.
No.
So that's interesting.
We make sure, we follow up, we've got meetings with the NPA and the ROCs when they are doing further investigations. We are able to know what they are doing at any given time. All of us are part of the fusion center, therefore we can ask questions to each other in those forums. And then we are always comfortable. But there is another element of it, which is the recovery part. The recovery part, it is totally in our hands. We don't need anybody else to assist us on it. We take the matter directly to the special tribunal and we recover. And as you know, in this case, we have already done so. The matter is before the tribunal. We want to set aside that contract and recover that 150 million.
Right. So the report found that there was an amount of approximately 150 million rand paid to them. It was considered irregular expenditure, and in fact, they didn't even pay the VAT on this or the tax on it. I can't decide if that is just offensive, even more offensive, or just stupid on their part. It makes it seem as though it was fairly clumsy, I guess is what I'm saying. Was this a clumsy fraudulent transaction?
I don't think it was clumsy, because clumsy suggests that they did not know what they were doing.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, but it is from, if you look at the way this thing happened as far back as 2014, when they were still in Cocta, you will then understand that they were planning to do this thing. Because they created the company, disguised that they are part of this company, because this company has got a different owner from the two ladies. And they planned it accordingly. And the way things moved, you could clearly see it was a plan. Therefore, it was also maybe a plan for them not to pay tax, because I don't think they will be naive to not understand that you need to pay tax.
Right, right. And what now? What are the next steps?
No, this process is moving very well.
Mm.
One, I've already talked about the process that we are engaged in to recover the money through the special tribunal, which is underway. We are now informed by the Department of Health that they are starting with their disciplinary hearing. And then I understand they even have a press conference today. We'll hear more about that. And then already you know that the Director General has already been suspended.
Right.
And that clearly indicates movement in that side. And I've talked to my counterpart in the Hawks. They've confirmed to me that they are investigating further the issue in the Hawks. And then people will ask the question, why do they investigate when you have investigated? And the answer is very simple. When we investigate with the eye of taking the matter for civil action. And the measurement for civil action is we've got to win the case on the balance of probability. They have to investigate with the eye on the criminal case, and they've got to prove beyond reasonable doubt. Therefore, the way we do the investigation is different from the other. That is why they will take the evidence and take it a step further so that they can prove beyond reasonable doubt.